No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I am Jill. Today is the 18th day of August. Just listen to those waves crash. I want to be there. Let's just let the guitarist play for a second. That felt so calming and so peaceful. Welcome. It's so good to be here with you. And I'm so glad that you are here and making the Bible and these waves a part of your life today in some capacity. For whatever reason that you got here, it's a good enough reason that the truth of God's word that is truth is a part of your life. We have to know the truth of what we believe. And we are learning in God's word the importance of knowing the truthful voices that represent God, because there's an awful lot representing God that, well, maybe you can smell what I'm about to fry. It might be somebody's truth, but it's not God's truth if we cannot match it in God's word through his word. And so I commend you for being here. I say, if you just found your way here, stay right here. Don't go back. We're well over halfway into the year and catching up would be really hard. But start right here, jump in, and in just a few months, we'll begin all over again. So, let's dig into the truth. Today, we're reading Jeremiah chapters 38 through 40. This week, we are reading the New English Translation. Let's go. Jeremiah chapter 38. Now, Shephatiah, son of Mattan, Gedaliah, son of Peshur, Jehekel, son of Shelemiah, and Peshur, son of Milkijah, had heard the things that Jeremiah had been telling the people. They had heard him say, "The Lord says, those who stay in this city will die in battle or of starvation or disease. Those who leave the city and surrender to the Babylonians will live. They will escape with their lives." They had also heard him say, "The Lord says, this city will certainly be handed over to the army of the king of Babylon. They will capture it." So these officials said to the king, "This man must be put to death, for he is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city, as well as all the other people there. By these things he is saying, this man is not seeking to help these people, but is trying to harm them." King Zedekiah said to them, "Very well, you can do what you want with him, for I cannot do anything to stop you." So the officials took Jeremiah and put him in the cistern of Malchijah, one of the royal princes, that was in the courtyard of the guardhouse. There was no water in the cistern, only mud. So when they lowered Jeremiah into the cistern with ropes, he sank in the mud. An Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, a court official in the royal palace, heard that Jeremiah had been put in the cistern while the king was holding court at the Benjamin Gate. Ebed-Melech departed the palace and went to speak to the king. He said to him, "Your royal majesty, those men have been very wicked in all that they have done to the prophet Jeremiah. They have thrown him into a cistern, and he is sure to die of starvation there because there is no food left in this city." So the king gave Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, the following order: "Take 30 men with you from here, and go pull the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went to a room under the treasure room in the palace. He got some worn-out clothes and old rags from there and let them down by ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. Ebed-Melech called down to Jeremiah, "Put these rags and worn-out clothes under your armpits to pad the ropes." Jeremiah did as Ebed-Melech instructed. So they pulled Jeremiah up from the cistern with ropes. Jeremiah, however, still remained confined to the courtyard of the guardhouse. Sometime later, Zedekiah sent and had Jeremiah brought to him at the third entrance of the Lord's temple, the king said to Jeremiah, "I would like to ask you a question. Do not hide anything from me when you answer." Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I answer you, you will certainly kill me. If I give you advice, you will not listen to me." So King Zedekiah made a secret promise to Jeremiah and sealed it with an oath. He promised, "As surely as the Lord lives, who has given us life and breath, I promise you this, I will not kill you or hand you over to those men who want to kill you." Then Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "The Lord God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, you must surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon. If you do, your life will be spared, and this city will not be burned down. Indeed, you and your whole family will be spared. But if you do not surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, this city will be handed over to the Babylonians, and they will burn it down. You yourself will not escape from them." Then King Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Judeans who have deserted to the Babylonians. The Babylonians might hand me over to them, and they will torture me." Then Jeremiah answered, "You will not be handed over to them. Please obey the Lord by doing what I have been telling you. Then all will go well with you, and your life will be spared. But if you refuse to surrender, the Lord has shown me a vision of what will happen. Here is what I saw. All the women who are left in the royal palace of Judah will be led out to the officers of the king of Babylon. They will taunt you, saying, 'Your trusted friends misled you. They have gotten the best of you. Now that your feet are stuck in the mud, they have turned their backs on you.' All your wives and your children will be turned over to the Babylonians. You yourself will not escape from them, but will be captured by the king of Babylon. This city will be burned down." Then Zedekiah told Jeremiah, "Do not let anyone know about the conversation we have had. If you do, you will die. The officials may hear that I have talked with you. They may come to you and say, 'Tell us what you said to the king and what the king said to you.' Do not hide anything from us. If you do, we will kill you. If they do this, tell them, 'I was pleading with the king not to send me back to die in the dungeon of Jonathan's house.'" All the officials did indeed come and question Jeremiah. He told them exactly what the king had instructed him to say. They stopped questioning him any further because no one had actually heard their conversation. So Jeremiah remained confined in the courtyard of the guardhouse until the day Jerusalem was captured. The following events occurred when Jerusalem was captured. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. The siege began in the 10th month of the 9th year that Zedekiah ruled over Judah. It lasted until the 9th day of the 4th month of Zedekiah's 11th year. On that day they broke through the city walls. The Nergal Sharezer of Samgar, Nebo, Sarsakim, who was a chief officer, Nergal Sharezer, who was a high official, and all the other officers of the king of Babylon came and set up quarters in the middle gate. When King Zedekiah of Judah and all his soldiers saw them, they tried to escape. They departed from the city during the night. They took a path through the king's garden and passed out through the gate between the two walls. Then they headed for the Rift Valley, but the Babylonian army chased after them. They caught up with Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho and captured him. They took him to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon at Riblah in the territory of Hamath, and Nebuchadnezzar passed sentence on him there. There at Riblah, the king of Babylon had Zedekiah's sons put to death while Zedekiah was forced to watch. The king of Babylon also had all the nobles of Judah put to death. Then he had Zedekiah's eyes put out and had him bound in chains to be led off to Babylon. The Babylonians burned down the royal palace, the temple of the Lord, and the people's homes, and they tore down the wall of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, took captive the rest of the people who were left in the city. He carried them off to Babylon, along with the people who had deserted to him. But he left behind in the land of Judah some of the poor people who owned nothing. He gave them fields and vineyards at that time. Now King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had issued orders concerning Jeremiah. He had passed them on through Nebuzaradan, the captain of his royal guard. Find Jeremiah and look out for him. Do not do anything to harm him, but do with him whatever he tells you. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, Nebushuizban, who was a chief officer, Nergal Sharezer, who was a high official, and all the other officers of the king of Babylon, sent and had Jeremiah brought from the courtyard of the guardhouse. They turned him over to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, and the grandson of Shaphan, to take him home with him. But Jeremiah stayed among the people. Now the Lord's message had come to Jeremiah while he was still confined in the courtyard of the guardhouse. Go and tell Ebed-Melech, the Nubian, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, has said. I will carry out against this city what I promised. It will mean disaster and not good fortune for it. When that disaster happens, you will be there to see it. But I will rescue you when it happens. I, the Lord, affirm it. You will not be handed over to those whom you fear. I will certainly save you. You will not fall victim to violence. The Lord spoke to Jeremiah after Nebuzaradan, the captain of the royal guard, had set him free at Ramah. He had taken him there in chains, along with all the people from Jerusalem and Judah, who were being carried off to exile to Babylon. The captain of the royal guard took Jeremiah aside and said to him, "The Lord your God threatened this place with this disaster. Now he has brought it about. The Lord has done just as he threatened to do. This disaster has happened because you people sinned against the Lord and did not obey him. But now, Jeremiah, today I will set you free from the chains on your wrists. If you would like to come to Babylon with me, come along and I will take care of you. But if you prefer not to come to Babylon with me, you are not required to do so. You are free to go anywhere in the land you want to go. Go wherever you choose." Before Jeremiah could turn to leave, the captain of the guard added, "Go back to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam and grandson of Shaphan, whom the king of Babylon appointed to govern the towns of Judah. Go back and live with him among the people, or go wherever else you choose." Then the captain of the guard gave Jeremiah some food and a present and let him go. So Jeremiah went to Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, at Mizpah and lived there with him. He stayed there to live among the people who had been left in the land of Judah. Now some of the officers of the Judean army and their troops had been hiding in the countryside. They heard that the king of Babylon had appointed Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, to govern the country. They also heard that he had been put in charge over the men, women, and children from the poorer classes of the land who had not been carried off into exile in Babylon. So all these officers and their troops came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. The officers who came were Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, Johanan, and Jonathan, the sons of Kareah, Sariah, son of Tanhumith, the sons of Ephai, the Netophathite, and Jezaniah, son of the Maacathite. Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam and grandson of Shaphan, took an oath so as to give them and their troops some assurance of safety. "Do not be afraid to submit to the Babylonians. Settle down in the land and submit to the king of Babylon. Then things will go well for you. I, for my part, will stay at Mizpah to represent you before the Babylonians whenever they come to us. You, for your part, go ahead and harvest the wine, the dates, the figs, and the olive oil, and store them in jars. Go ahead and settle down in the towns that you have taken over. Moreover, all the Judeans who were in Moab, Ammon, Edom, and all the other countries heard what had happened. They heard that the king of Babylon had allowed some people to stay in Judah, and that he had appointed Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, a grandson of Shaphan, to govern them. So all these Judeans returned to the land of Judah from the places where they had been scattered. They came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Thus they harvested a large amount of wine and dates and figs. Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the officers of the troops that had been hiding in the open country came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. They said to him, "Are you at all aware that King Baalis of Ammon has sent Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, to kill you?" But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, would not believe them. Then Johanan, son of Kareah, spoke privately to Gedaliah there at Mizpah, "Let me go and kill Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, before anyone knows about it. Otherwise he will kill you, and all the Judeans who have rallied around you will be scattered. Then what remains of Judah will disappear." But Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, said to Johanan, son of Kareah, "Do not do that, because what you are saying about Ishmael is not true." Okay, I'm going to pull today from this beautiful resource available to us called The God of Your Story. It's a devotional written by my husband, Brian Harden. It's available in the Daily Audio Bible Resource Store. And it just is great context for where we are in this story with Jeremiah today. In our reading from Jeremiah, circumstances had gotten extremely dire in Jerusalem. They had also gotten very ominous for Jeremiah personally, as factions developed in the mayhem of a city being strangled by the Babylonian blockade. Only a wall protected Jerusalem from being overrun by the invading army, but within the walls, society was breaking down due to lack of food. The prophets who foretold that calamity would never happen were obviously wrong. Jeremiah told King Zedekiah, "Even if you were to destroy the entire Babylonian army, leaving only a handful of wounded survivors, they would still stagger from their tents and burn this city to the ground." In the deteriorating conditions within Jerusalem, fear and panic undermined power structures. For many, Jeremiah's message of surrender made him a traitor. When Jeremiah attempted to leave the city, he was arrested and thrown into a dungeon. After King Zedekiah freed him, Jeremiah was held under house arrest in a courtyard, but was soon thrown into an empty well to die. Thankfully, Jeremiah was rescued from the well, and later Zedekiah had a covert meeting with a prophet in the temple, asking Jeremiah to give him the straight, unfiltered truth about their predicament. Jeremiah responded, "If I tell you the truth, you will kill me. And if I give you advice, you won't listen to me anyway." In many ways, that statement is reflective of Jeremiah's struggle as a prophet. We can read stories like this and be intrigued by the history or appalled at the tragedy, but none of it had to happen. Jeremiah had been giving warnings for 2 decades, but no one listened. Their defenses fell when the wall came tumbling down, and one can only imagine the chaos and devastation as people tried to flee the storm of swinging swords. According to the Voice of Wisdom, we are defenseless when we lose control of ourselves. If we needed a picture, we've seen it in Jeremiah. But truth be told, we probably already know. Chaos, fear, panic, loss, and a host of other enemies come rushing through the breach with deadly intent when we lose self-control. It may look a little different for us than it did in the book of Jeremiah, but it is no less real. Ironically, Jeremiah's message of surrender still rings true. We may not be surrendering to the Babylonians, but we certainly must surrender to God. And when we do this, the fruit of the Spirit begins to grow within us. One of those fruits is self-control. The Bible certainly reveals the outcomes of the paths we choose, and we see this in today's reading. Fundamentally, the choice is between order and chaos, with self-control casting the deciding vote. Which path will we choose today? Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the help of the Spirit that we need, that is available to us. The fruit of the Spirit that gives us love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, self-control. These things are the evidence of the Spirit that is available to us, that is in us, that we claim is in us. And these things make us set apart. Your Spirit causes us to be set apart when it is so easy to not exude a single one of these things. It is work. It is work until we get it right. Until we realize that they are available. And these gifts that are available to us are from you. And this is how people will know that we are yours. When we exude the fruit that comes from a good soil of our heart. Thank you for your Spirit. We pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the perfect Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Take a look around, check it out, download it, send it to a friend, go through the Bible, and make a friend. If you are feeling alone, you don't have to be alone, and you don't have to go through it alone unless you want to. If you are giving by mail, DAB, P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174, or you can utilize the app at the give icon up at the top right-hand corner. And lastly, look for the give icon on the website. If you need prayer, if you'd like to pray for someone that's previously called, in several different ways for you to do so, 800-583-2164. That is the number for chronological. Once again, utilizing the app, hit the red circle button up at the top midsection. When you are finished, hit submit. Turn that little wheel over to chronological, and it will get to the right place. That is it for me today. We will turn the page together tomorrow. I love you all. Until tomorrow, love one another.
Good morning. I'm a first-time caller. I've been a listener to DAB Chronological for 5 or 6 years. I'm going to go by Redeemed One, I believe. I'm calling for prayer for my grand twins. I love them with all of my heart. They've been part of our family now for 6 years. They're 10 years old. They are adopted, a boy and a girl. And I just would really like to pray for them and my daughter and her husband. They have a lot of issues from their years before my daughter and husband adopted them. There's a lot of trauma. So they're diagnosed with many different things, and they've gone to many different therapists. And I spoke to my daughter this morning, and she's just really praying for wisdom and joy and patience and guidance on how that they can help them. When I tell you that they've done everything that they could possibly have done to this point, that's so true. My daughter has grown in leaps and bounds just by parenting these lovely children that is really having a difficult time. So I asked her if I could call DAB to envelop their family in prayer, and she said I could. I'm not using any names. God knows who they are. But if you don't mind praying with me, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Tammy calling from the Central Coast of California. Today is August 13th, and it's taken me a couple days to call in, but on August 11th, Jill, you gave an amazing commentary regarding trust. And right after your commentary, Ashley from Texas called in, praising God over the fact that she had gotten a job and just talking a little bit in regards to trust as well. And on Friday, my daughter was in the ER for a peanut allergy, and trusting the Lord in that felt easy. But come Monday, I was losing it. She was still not well, and I had taken it into my hands, like it was my responsibility, that I was the only one that could help her to feel better, because she had made the decision to go to work. And I just laughed at myself after listening to Jill and realizing how I had not been trusting God for her healing, not trusting God that he had it all in his hands and that he is worthy of our trust, of our patience, that he is working it all out for our good. So thank you, Jill. I appreciate your wisdom. Thank you, Ashley, for your praise report. I also want to pray for the fires here in Arroyo Grande where I live. So thank you for whoever called that in. God bless you. Make it a great day.
Good morning. My name is Maria from Mississippi. Today is August 15th. And as I was listening to prayer requests and victory reports, I just want to pray for people all over the world that's around the campfire. And ask God in the name of Jesus to cover us and help us and keep us. People are dealing with mental issues, depression, stress, health issues. And I'm asking God to just keep us and keep his arms wrapped around us. Your word tells us to trust in you with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. But in all of our ways, acknowledge you and you shall direct our path. So God, be that light for us, be that strength for us. Give us a peace that passes all understanding. You let this mind be in you that is also in Christ Jesus. So God, I'm asking you to wrap your arms around the DAB family and those that are attached to us and just keep us in perfect peace. We love you, oh God. We trust you even when we cannot trace you. And we ask that you allow us to look past what's going on in our space, look past our circumstances. And Lord God, acknowledge you, that you will give us the desires of our heart and you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.